Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Tonight, I plan on doing something just a little out of the ordinary, and that is typically my preaching has been that I always like to work expositorily through a message. But from time to time, it's important that we go through certain subjects and talk about certain things. And that's tonight what I actually have plans of doing is to preach on a subject. Tonight, I'm going to preach on something that's going to help our church as a whole. I'm going to preach on something that's going to help moms and dads. It's going to help every individual if you can grab a hold of this subject tonight. It's more of a, I suppose, a philosophy message, if you will. But Lord willing, you can take it to heart and grab something from it. So tonight I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, and forgive me for using this term, but I will use this verse as a springboard, if you will. So I'm not going to park here, not going to dwell long on this verse, but I'm actually going to use it as something to launch out into the message tonight. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Tonight I want to talk about something that I think is necessary to discuss, and that is a subject of standards. Standards. So let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd just help us tonight in this message. May you guide us, help us though listening, help in preaching. And may you just use us in a very special way, and may we grab something here tonight that we can take for use in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to look at the Webster's Dictionary, it would define a standard as follows: something established as a rule or a basis of comparison measuring quantity, quality, or value. Our whole system of life is built on standards. For there to be any quality or value of something, there must be a standard that is set. For example, in the realm of sports, a man or woman will raise their game to another level of competition or standard. That's why you have pro sports and amateur sports. There are private schools around our country that have set standards for students desiring to enter into their schools. If you don't meet those standards, you don't come into the school. Standards are set within a community to abide by, or else people will be fined or sent to jail. There are some certain communities that are gated, and that is, you cannot get in there unless you are of a certain economic standard and you've achieved the standards that have been set in order to live in that community. Insurance companies have standards. Educational banks have set up standardized tests for the opportunity to see how well students match against students in his or her age group. And I could go on and tell you about this, but may I say that the standards that I have mentioned just in a simple way in our life only stem from a greater truth, and that is the standards that are part of the makeup of the world that God has established. God has standards of conduct, if you will. For those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, how many of you name the name of Jesus Christ tonight? Amen. Well, tonight, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, you have a standard, if you will, to uphold. The Bible says in our text here, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink." Now, he may be just talking about something just as simple as sitting down having a meal or something as large as ministering the gospel for Jesus Christ, but no matter what it is that you do for God, everything must be done in the light of the fact that you are a child of God. You realize people are watching you? People may never read the Bible, but they'll read your cover of your book, your life. People are looking at what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're conducting yourself, and the standards are important. You know, sometimes the average Christian will say, well, look, you know what, it doesn't really matter what people think of. I'll just tell them I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter how I live. I want to just tell you something. God is going to see what's on the inside. He knows that you're a Christian, but everybody else around you, all they see is the outside. And they look at the standards that you set for your life. We must remember that the outside must reflect what is on the inside. Therefore, it is important that we establish standards for living for our life. Now, I want to just take two things tonight, and my son got a big kick. I only had 2 points tonight. He laughed about that. He said, are we having a shorter message tonight? I said, we'll see. We'll see how well you pay attention tonight, okay? But let's talk about number one, first of all, the problem with standards. The problem with standards. You know, there have been people that have grown up in church their whole life, and they have left church because they don't like this church is too strict, or this church is, you know, too many standards, too many rules. That Christian school I went to has too many rules. And what we've done in our life, our Christian life, is we've equated holiness with standards. My friend, I want to just tell you, we cannot do that. Though I'm preaching tonight about setting standards for our life, you and I must understand that there's going to be a holiness of our internal life. There's going to be something of our heart. So let me talk tonight about the problem, first of all, of standards. One reason that there's a problem with standards today is that there are many different people saying many different things about standards. Well, I've given you a few different people that I want to share with you. First of all, let me talk to you about the ignorant Christian. The ignorant Christian. This is a person who doesn't know why he does what he does. Here's what he says. Well, I don't know why I do that. Mom just says that I have to do that. Or mom says I can't do that. Well, I don't know why I'll do that. If I don't do that, I'm going to get into trouble. I don't know why. It's a church rule. That's the ignorant Christian. But then there is the modern day Pharisee type of Christian. This is the person who says to himself, you know what? If I live a certain way and if I have all these standards, people are going to think something special about me. This is a person that thinks that standards equal spirituality. This is a type of person who does things to be seen. As far as we're concerned, there's an outward shell that looks good, but the inside may be decayed, it may be rotten, and it doesn't seem to match what's on the outside. So there's the ignorant Christian, there's the modern day Pharisee type of Christian, but there also is the rebel Christian. And you know what? There's a rebel Christian seemingly in every group. This is a person that bucks at every jot and tittle that's put down. This is the type of person that's going to say, you know, that rule is just stupid. Or what a bunch of legalists they are at that church. You know, they think they got all these standards and various other things. This rebel Christian doesn't like accountability and or responsibility. This person generally has become what they are many times because their parents sometimes were that way. And so sad that we have these type of things. But another problem with standards is not that there's many different things being said, many different areas. But another reason that there's a problem with standards is that there's different standards from place to place. I guarantee in this church here, from home to home, there are different standards. Different standards of TV watching. Different standards of how you conduct life on Sunday. Different standards of reading material. Different standards of friendships and social media and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. God has given the umbrella of leadership in every single home. And Lord willing, we can all work together. But also from church to church, there are different standards. Many of you have been around the block for a long time, and you've been to a lot of different churches. And churches just have different standards sometimes. I was part of a church for 20 years, and we had things that were done certain ways, and then I came up here and saw that things were done just a little differently. Not saying it was right or wrong, but there was just different things that were set. Nothing wrong with that. There are some places, some churches sometimes, who will say, well, it's okay to go to movies. Others will say it's not okay. Others will say, well, you need to make sure that your shorts extend way below the knee. Others will say, no, you got to have shorts at the knee. Then there's other places that say, that's all too stinking long. Don't worry about that. There's some that say women should only wear dresses and or skirts, while other ministries will allow women to wear pants in modesty. There's some ministries and some families that will say men's hair should be so short that the scalp must show, while others will tell you, well, as long as it's above the ears, it's fine. And then there's other places that will just go ahead and just say, look, as long as it's shorter than your wife's hair, it's okay. Yet there are many places that have gone ahead and dropped standards because they're looking to attract people. Now, that's sad today. How many churches have gone through and said, "Well, we're not gonna say anything about these areas, and we're not gonna go ahead and have any standards at all because we want to make sure we attract people in." Now, I want to just tell you out from the get-go here. I don't set standards for people who come to church. Now, there may be someone who comes into church that is dressed in a particular way that we might have to have somebody discreetly go to them and just say, could we help put something on you? Okay, you understand that. But for the most part, I don't sit there and check at the door and say, now, you got to be dressed this way, you got to be tattoo free, men must not have earrings, all these type of things. I don't do that because I want the Spirit of God to speak to people. But where I do have standards is for people that are going to be ministering. Those that have been involved in the music ministry here know that I have challenged them about certain things as far as dress, as far as their conduct, and as far as certain things about their life. Why? Because I want to make sure that we represent Jesus correctly. Amen. It's important to set those standards. But another problem with standards has arisen from people's attitudes. We've all somewhat been set back from the false presuppositions that have been established in different writing materials where people have told you in these writing materials, and I won't name the names in the books, but they're out there, people who tell you, look, don't go to any ministry where people's going to rob you of the grace of God. You're free in Christ, and you can do anything you want. My friend, I want to tell you, they are misrepresenting the grace of God. Yes, God has given you the grace, and He saved you, and He's made you free, but not free to be what you want. He's freed you from the shackles of sin. He's freed you from going to hell someday, but now you have freedom to live for Christ. Oh, at one time you were a master to Satan, but He's freed you from that. But now Jesus is my master, and I'm to follow Him. So that's the problem with standards is there's a lot of different people saying different things. There's different ministries and families that set different standards. And there's a lot of different attitudes. But I want to tell you something tonight that we can have a solution to standards for our families and for our ministry. And so number two, I want you to note, and how am I doing so far as time, all right? The solution to standards. Let me give you just a few things here about standards that I believe will help. We can talk about all the problems and all the issues of various churches, and I'll guarantee you tonight, many of you thinking, oh yeah, that church had a problem, or this mom and dad, they were too strict in this area. Don't get hung up on all that. That's where the devil likes to get us squared away in. He likes to get us pigeonholed in. Well, that church did wrong here, or that family, they were too cruel here, or they'd set those bad standards and things. My friend, I want to just tell you something. There's a solution to being able to set standards that are proper in our lives. First of all, we must know what standards are. What are standards? Well, there are four things I want you to understand about standards. First of all, standards are a fence that set limits for us. For instance, just in the physical realm, you and I might have physical fences that are set up to help protect us. How many grew up in a yard where you had a fence in your yard? Well, what was the fence there? It was to keep people out, but it was also as a young boy or a young girl to keep you in. I always remember getting this warning when I was a kid and I started roaming around in through our kitchen. I got warned repeatedly about the stove. Do not touch the stove. And boy, my mom and dad would take me over there and they'd teach me about it. And they'd tell me about heat and how it could burn my fingers. And so they set parameters and they said, we don't want you but this close to the stove. You stay away from it. There are caution signs and sometimes barriers that are set up around construction sites. What are all these things set up for? They're standards, if you will, that are set up to keep you safe. But may I say that standards are a fence to set limits, not in the physical realm only, but for our spiritual life. Do you realize in a home and you, for your life, you ought to set up standards of what you watch on television? I'll be honest with you. If you shut the TV off or tossed your TV, you'd probably be doing a whole lot better. Because there's not a whole lot on television that you can watch that you can say that is purely wholesome. But you need to set up standards in your home for what you watch on the television. You need to set up standards for what you do with your social media. You need to set up standards for your reading material. You need to set standards for who you associate with. You need to set standards for your dress. You say, oh, come on, preacher, you're going to start talking about dress. I want to just tell you, the book of Proverbs chapter 5 talks about, now get this, it mentions the attire of an harlot. Now, if it mentions that there is a certain type of a dress that represents a person who sells their body for immorality, then that must mean that there is a certain type of dress that I as a Christian ought to stay away from. And I ought to set standards for my dress. You say, preacher, come on, we're in 2018. I mean, we're talking old-fashioned stuff. And stay away. Look, I'm all for looking fashionable and I'm all for being kept looking well and things and having nice clothes. But I want to just tell you something. There is something to be said about what you wear. Ladies, you ought to make sure that there's nothing revealing in what you wear. You ought to be sure that you are saving what you wear as far as your dress for your husband at home, how you dress. And when you come out in the public, it should be that you recognize you represent Jesus Christ. How important that is. But standards are a fence that set limits, but they're a mirror to reflect character. Think about this. Is it not interesting that fast food restaurants, simple places like McDonald's and Burger King, have a dress code for their employees? Now think about that. What are they trying to do? It doesn't mean that the person that all of a sudden is dressed up in a uniform, that their character is good. But what McDonald's or Burger King or any of these other fast food restaurants want to imply is, we've got it going here. We're a team unit. We are people that are here to serve you. That dress that has been set is important. And standards should reflect what is on the inside. In other words, the inside and outside are to match. I believe that dress is very, very important. This is why I dress today. I still dress in a suit coat and a tie for church. Now, number one, I believe I want to give my best to God. And number two, I recognize that as I represent God behind this pulpit, I am like the Old Testament priest. And someday soon, Lord willing, I'd love to do a study on the temple and all the dress of the priests and the things that they did. And imagine here, God was particular about every detail of that priest. Why? Because that priest represented God to the people. And God forbid these men that are out there preaching in ripped jeans and t-shirts and everything else. Now, look, God bless them. They may be preaching the gospel and various things, but I believe they're sadly misrepresenting God in a certain way. And I'm here to give God my best and to be able to share tonight that here with even my dress that it is important. But standards are not only a fence that set limits, a mirror to reflect character, but a weapon to demonstrate strength. You know, a person is defenseless if they do not govern their lives by a set of standards. Your greatest weapon is the principles that you can learn from Scripture and can apply to your life. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But then standards are a guide to keep me in the way. I must say that if you and I are left to ourselves, we probably destroy ourselves. The Bible has many admonitions to do right, and standards will keep us there. Think with me, 1 Peter 1, 14-16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22-23. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must know what standards are, and I mentioned those things, but where to implement standards? Where should I implement standards? Well, first of all, at church. We ought to implement standards at church. There ought to be standards for those that are in leadership positions. You go right back to the book of 1 Timothy and you realize that there are qualifications given for a pastor. There are qualifications given for a deacon. Now, those are the two offices that are required of a church. Now, a church that is organized well will have other offices. We have a secretary. We have trustees. We have Sunday school teachers. And there are qualifications that people must meet in order to do those things. It's important to set standards for that. It is important to me as a pastor that we have that those that represent the music ministry here, those that are in the choir, those that help out with leading music, that they represent the Lord in the right way with their dress. I've just very simply have stated that those that are in the choir here need to be, ladies need to be in skirts or dresses. We want our men to be dressed up. Why? Is it because we think that we're better than other people? Is it because we think that that suits are any? No, we want to make sure that we represent the Lord in the best that we can. I want to be sure that everything that is done here, I've done the same thing with regards to our ushers. How important it is that we have standards. You parents that are here today, set standards for your children and must set them. Who are the friends that they hang around with? Now, it's not just the kids that they're going to go to their house or those children are coming to your house, but what about the friends that they have on social media? You know, we're living in a day today where we're sometimes we as parents and grandparents almost seem so lost. Because if we just give a carte blanche amount of time for our kids to get on the social media, you never know who's getting on some of those things that begin to appeal to our children. And how important it is for you to know who your kids are hanging around with. It's important for parents to set up for their children what they will dress. There's been times where my children have walked out of the house and I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang tight. We got to go back in and we got to reverse this whole thing. It's important that they dress properly. It's important that dating standards are set for our children. But then for the home, what will we watch on television? What will our schedule be like on Sunday? All these type of things. These are the places that we set standards. Parents, you must recognize the standards you set for the home. Couples, you must set standards for yourself, on and on. But then I must say this, why do we have standards? Why? Here's the solution to standards. We must know why behind the what. Many times, young people, and even adults, don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. Standards are put in place, but unless those standards bring us to a place where we establish a conviction, then we're going to falter later. Do you know why the statistics are so high that many teenagers who graduate from Christian high schools and many teenagers who leave their churches never come back to church? You know why? Because many of them, all they've been taught is, if I dress this way, if I listen to this type of music, if I do these things, that makes me a good Christian. And they come out and realize their heart is not there, and they failed on all these things, so they say, it's not worth going to church. And it's important for us to help our teenagers establish the why behind the what. Because a standard is a boundary that is placed around us by an external authority. But may I say that a conviction is a boundary that is placed within us by an internal authority. Now, let me just use an example while I was growing up. While I was growing up, my parents had standards in our home, and I'm glad that they did. They had set who I hung around with. They had set my schedule, and they had set certain things about my living. Now, sure, I bucked against that, and I didn't like certain things, but you know, today I'm grateful that I had a mom and dad who loved me and cared for me. Were they perfect in the standards that they set? No. But they loved me to at least set some standards to help me in living. But they set standards for me. Now, every mom and dad recognizes the fact, I recognize as a parent, you in raising your children have recognized this, that our children are not always going to pick up the same things that we do. They're not. They have different ideas of things. They have different creativity. But what's important is this, is that as the standards are set by you as a parent, that external authority to help put boundaries on their life, your desire is that as those children grow and mature, that they can begin to internalize those things and establish convictions. Now, what is my desire for my children? Is it my desire for them to just follow these standards? Look, son, you'll be successful if you do this, live this way, dress this way, listen to this type of music. No, that's not my desire for my children. My desire for my children is, here's the standards that I set. But I want you to understand why we do what we do, why we have these things, and when they can grab it, they can internalize it, and they can then establish in their home their own type of standards. Now, in closing tonight, I want to go ahead and just say how you and I can implement the standards. Because the solution to standards is understanding the why, what they are, how to implement them tonight. First of all, I believe it's important for you and I to begin with areas that God brings conviction to our life. You and I will have trouble in our life if we never set standards for our conduct and our living. Let me give an example tonight. Let's just say on a particular Sunday, I preached on this verse, Psalm 101, verse 3, where the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, boy, I preached a message, and you were convicted by the Spirit of God, and you came forward and you kneeled down and you said, go, God, help me. I am going to live for you. I am going to make sure that I set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, I'll just mark this down right now. As a preacher, I know this. That person may have been moved by the principle of the Word of God, but unless they set a standard in their life to help them with that principle, they will never have that conviction. So therefore, when they go back, here's what they need to do. You know what? I'm getting rid of the TV. I'm not watching HBO anymore or MTV or whatever type of thing. I'm not watching any R-rated movies anymore or PG-13 movies. I'm taking those out of my watching list. You see, in order to have a conviction and be able to follow the principles of the Word of God, I have to set a standard. Our problem is that we equate the standards with spirituality. But everything about conviction and everything about standard, we must remember the heart relationship with God. Can I remind you tonight that it is imperative for you to remember that Christianity is a relationship, it is not a religion. If I love God with all my heart, soul, then I will set limits on what I do, what I say, and where I go. Because I love Him, because I want to keep my testimony pure, I will establish these principles in my life. I'll begin with areas that God brings conviction over. I'll follow my God-given authority. And I'll make God's word my final authority. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. May God help us to establish some things in our life, in our family, in our church that are not hurtful. Please understand that I never, as a pastor, want standards that I can use to club over people. I don't want to take a list of rules and whack people and do this. You got to remember now, this is the way you to behave. It's not where I want to be. But it's important that we have standards that are established. But the most important factor is our heart. Too many ministries, too many families have equated, look at us. Look at what we've done. Look at our children. Look at how well behaved they are. Look at how they all sit in church. They smile, they sing. But you know what? Their heart's far removed from God. So tonight, you can set some standards that will help you. Not make you spiritually, not make you spiritual, but help you live for God. Then you will come along and you'll be on the road to some victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.